Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is another Tuesday Teaching Tip. And today we're talking about meaningful movement. So we're not talking about gestures, that's a whole other topic, but about movement. In other words, you're at a lectern, you're standing somewhere, and you consider whether you should move as part of the teaching of your lesson, your preaching, your teaching, whatever it is you're doing. Should you move? And if so, when, why, and how? Well, we're going to talk about that today. It's so important because it's not infrequent that either somebody is so stock solid that they look like they're glued to the floor, or else people tend to wander. There's a wandering with no apparent reason, no apparent purpose, and that can be quite distracting. We want to get away from those two extremes. Perhaps we move and wander if we do that because we're nervous and we're not really sure about ourselves and we feel a restless energy and we feel like moving, but that's not very helpful. Neither is being rooted to the spot for half an hour. Standing still can be positive. Recently, I handed out some feedback forms to the congregation, one of the congregations I serve by speaking. And one of the positive things I got back was that I didn't move too much. That was relevant to that particular lesson. It was a more sober lesson, and I think standing still was very helpful. However, another lesson I did recently involved me with the idea of an illustration that Jesus was opening a door. And so I moved as if to go, and in fact, I physically did open a door. But that movement was very helpful because it illustrated an idea, Jesus moving to open a door. So it depends on the lesson. It is important that we incorporate movement, even if we're not particularly comfortable with it, if the lesson, if the topic requires it. Otherwise, if there's movement within the text and what we're talking about, but we're not moving, it gives the impression that we're not really inhabiting the content of our lesson. It's not really us. It's not really meaningful to us, in which case we lose credibility in what we're talking about. So my first question to you is this. Next text you're preaching from and teaching from, is there movement within it? Is there movement within a parable, within a story, within something that you're teaching and preaching on? If not, maybe movement's not appropriate. However, if there is no movement in the text that you can imitate, is there an illustration you're about to use, something from your own life, something, a story you want to tell that illustrates a point that has movement within it? Would then your own physical movement help to illustrate or bring that illustration home? So sometimes there's movement in the text, sometimes there's movement in an illustration that we use, and in either of those circumstances, it might be appropriate for you yourself to physically move. What we're talking about here is simply being intentional about our movement, thinking ahead about our movement, not being caught on the hop, literally perhaps, when we're actually teaching and wondering, should we move? Think ahead about that. Now, it helps if you're going to move to have a lapel mic or a handheld mic. You're not restricted by a microphone cable. So think about that ahead of time as well. On the other hand, it can be appropriate to move away from a microphone. Sometimes the drop in volume helps people to pay attention all the more. There's something about that. It can help the drama if there's a drop in volume. I've often noticed that as I move away from the microphone with an intentional movement, people sort of sit up. They pay attention more. It adds to the drama. It creates active attention because the volume isn't there. So, don't worry about the microphone issue as long as it actually helps. Of course, when we think about Jesus, most of his teaching was done sitting down, in which case physical movement may not have been quite so much of an issue. However, there was a lot of movement in his life and teaching in the sense that there was a lot of movement in his healings and the miracles, which of course in themselves were teaching events. And there was movement as he walked along. He was often teaching with his disciples and a crowd following. And there was movement and action there in different things he did, even like Zacchaeus up the tree, him stopping to talk to Zacchaeus, in a sense, was a movement. So there was movement in the way that Jesus taught. Perhaps the most obvious is something like Mark 10. In Mark 10, the children are brought to Jesus and the disciples rebuke the people doing so. Jesus is indignant and he says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms. There's a physical movement. I don't know if he moved from side to side or front or back, but he had to move, presumably, to be able to pick up the children and hold them in his arms and to bless them. And that was a teaching moment right there. So there's stooping, as I'm doing now, and you could illustrate it like that. A bit of movement. What do you think about this? What is meaningful to you in terms of movement? How do you think about whether to move or not when you're teaching or preaching? If there's movement in the text, how do you know if it would be useful to illustrate that with your own physical movement? And the same thing with illustration. But the main thing we're talking about here today is let's make sure that we make our movement meaningful. Not random, not wandering, and therefore not distracting, but purposeful and helpful for driving the point home that is here in this text. Let's make movement meaningful. I'd love to know your thoughts. Please email me. You can email me on mccx@mac.com, or you can leave a message anywhere you hear or see this recording. Until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.